This is Bookshelf producer Vern Windham. For 20 years, Spokane poet Dennis Held has been a volunteer producer for Spokane Public Radio. Over the years, he has interviewed local poets, as well as read his own work and that of other local and regional poets. He helped originate and has been an important contributor to Spokane Public Radio's Poetry Moment. In this essay, What I'll Miss, he talks about recent challenges and changes in his life. Dennis?
I'm Dennis Held. This is my essay, What I'll Miss. It's hard not to think about the things I'll miss. I don't imagine myself sitting on a cloud with my angel wings on and my feet dangling, moping about everything that I don't get to do. It's more of a series of sharply observed moments, bittersweet, but mostly sweet, things I might not have noticed before the diagnosis. Together, they represent the small gifts that make up a lifetime, my lifetime. Like gathering wild fruit, foraging, driving around the Palouse Prairie, watching for overgrown homesteads and abandoned orchards, grapes unpicked along fence lines, hard-scrabble raspberries climbing the rock piles back home in Harvey Metzger's field, and all of it free. Huckleberries on Mount Spokane, morel mushrooms along the river, tiny yellow plums no bigger than my thumb, and the best pear ever, outside of Asotin, Washington, looking for an apple tree I thought I had seen. The best finds can come aslant. Arrowheads reveal themselves in the flat glint of flint faces, struck 4,000 years before by human hands. In the night, pennies will reveal themselves as they will not do during the day, reflecting the streetlight glare from the parking lot. Maybe I should have eaten more chicken and a biscuit. Should have used the air conditioner in the car more often. Should have eaten more shrimp, more bacon. Gone back once more to the ocean. Kept and loved one more dog. The heady, languid southern smell of honey locust blossoms in the spring. I'll miss that. Gardening, turning the soil. Tomatoes and peas, sunflowers, and beets. Who knew I'd learn to love beets late in my life? Until recently, I didn't even know they made chocolate pound cake. Now I'm going to miss that. I didn't know it's really simple to spray WD-40 into a car lock and it'll work better. And that there are two different spellings of discreet, EET and ETE. I didn't know what it would feel like to have a definite end. Sometimes, especially when I'm on the phone, the elephant will re-enter the room. The other person says, man, I'm having a hell of a time with my hip lately, and, oh, geez, yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, and here I am bitching about a sore hip. I'm sorry, man, I just wasn't thinking. No. Stop. Thanks, but it's okay. How to be graceful in times like these might be worth some attention on my end. What has become clear to me is that when it comes to our end times, everything becomes dear, becomes worthy of note. And what we encounter as individuals turns out to be contained within something that's much larger, much more like a plasma or a gel. It simply encompasses and encapsulates it all. All the hard parts, the pointy bits, the tragedy and the melancholy sit comfortably alongside the ecstasy and the joy at the miracle of simple human existence. Everything gets absorbed. And that's it. In the end, it's all the same material. Fluid. Welcoming, even. I don't know if that's idiotic or profound, but for now, it's enough. I'll miss all the water. Really, every creek and rill. The Spokane River, Devil's Lake in central Wisconsin, Lake Michigan, east of my home, the channel they call Porte de Mort, the Door of the Dead. Freshwater lakes that never warm up, with lightning bugs. Camping at Terry Andrie State Park, those sand dunes. And along the Snake River, Buffalo Eddy petroglyphs, 8,000 years old and counting, pecked deep into the burnished rock, otherworldly visions. Cooking for others. And how I'm going to miss basketball. sneaky step backs, up and under layups, left-handed hook shots. I'm 61, and until recently when I made a shot, my friend Andy says, "There's the old coyote." Since my surgery, though, no more. I get to wear my slippers anytime I want, though, even at the grocery store. I can eat chocolate ice cream with impunity and a big spoon. Less oatmeal, more fudgesicles. Small tricks I can do with my hands, like skipping stones a dozen times, twirling a baton, learned that in third grade on the playground, practicing those over and under finger rolls. Or catching a frisbee behind my back, between my legs, on top of my head. Card into the hat flipping, and toss the pen in the tall cup. Music, hard to get started. Doc Watson, Merle Watson, and the Frosty Morn Band. Alberta, let your hair hang low. I'll give you more gold than your apron can hold if you'll only let your hair hang low. Oof. Guy Clark and his dad's Randall Knife. Emmylou Harris, Graham Parsons, Annie Lennox, John Hyatt. Any list I make excludes too much. I'll miss knowledge. Just finding things out, going deep, pushing off with both feet. Local history, who lived where, and geology. Every lump of pegmatite, every batholith. Fossils slay me. Colossal geological floods. The channeled scablands of eastern Washington. Digging up old bottles from the farm dumps. Driving along a Wyoming dirt road and finding a slab of mother-of-pearl fossilized clamshells, perfect replication, upside down from the ocean floor and heaved up to this roadside. Actual dinosaur bones pulled from an eroding hillside south of the Badlands near scenic South Dakota. Having to juggle together the recognition of one's imminent mortality with thoughts of doing the laundry and shopping for bananas can get things a little mixed up in your head and in your heart, can complicate things. One has to set certain thoughts, certain truths even, aside to get on with the business of everyday life. And that in itself can be a kind of blessing too, a balm. To enter back into the dailiness of life, out of the rounds of grim waiting rooms and stark facts and cold comforts, of 6 different doctor's appointments in 4 days, of a walnut-sized port surgically implanted under the skin, and 2 drug cocktails, and a gamma knife we all know is not really a knife, out of the medical world, back into the world. I'll miss being useful, not feeling useful, being useful. Set the table, fold the metal chairs at the end of a meeting, do the dishes, the laundry, do the floors on your hands and knees, do a good job of it. Ponds, for sure, especially ones with turtles. Mucky ponds, the whole rank and file, mostly rank, with liberty and cattails for all. Half my childhood was spent in the company of crayfish, caught in stream beds and quarries and ponds. Knowing how to get them to scoot backwards into your hat, your net, how to grab them right behind the pinchers and render them helpless, and how to wave them at girls walking by on the beach while making fake dinosaur roaring sounds. Huge, rolling Midwestern thunderstorms that blast stick lightning to the ground and pour down the rain. Gully washers, branch breakers, flutters of fields. Ice storms that form on tree branches and bring everything down. Big hail, gale force winds, stories told across the table while the latest storm is still flashing all around. That one time when lightning came through the kitchen window, busted it out and traveled around the room in the wires inside the walls, popping off the wall plates on the way by and running out onto the porch where it blew the gutters off. Nobody hurt, though. Sheesh. I love oiling a pair of good leather boots, where you get the neat's foot oil down into all the little cracks and creases, and it cleans everything up, makes it all supple again. What do I have? I have stage 4 cancer. That's the worst kind. As a friend reminded me, there's no stage 5. I have malignant melanoma, a kind of cancer that's almost always associated with the skin, although it can enter the body through the skin and settle in anywhere. And in my case, that was the gallbladder. It took my doctors a long time to track the whole thing down because the tests kept coming back negative for gallbladder cancer. They were positive for melanoma. How rare is that? My surgeon says he's found 12 other cases in the entire medical literature. I've asked every professional I've met to give me as much information as possible as soon as possible so I can make the best decisions. And so far, I've been afforded that courtesy every time. I believe in the power of warm bubble baths, especially for men. Lavender-scented, Epsom-salted, candles flickering in the dark, soft music of the background. No general ever stepped out of a bubble bath and declared war. I won't have to buy Christmas stamps. It's okay if I'm starting to go deaf. I won't have to get a colonoscopy. I still say yes to sandbars, to caramel sauce and ice cream sandwiches. Yes to tadpoles in classrooms, tadpoles with legs and a tail, tadpoles all the way to frogs, and then let go back into the swamp. Dragonflies, moose, vellum-covered books, a warm stocking cap, heavy-duty long johns. The Pacific Ocean and everything in it, kelp bulbs and fronds that look like cheerful waving aliens, sea urchins, tidal pools, haystack rocks, the aquarium at Monterey Bay, the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago, the Newport Aquarium on the Oregon coast, any damned aquarium anywhere. The first time I saw a starfish at 25 years old, fiery orange as a kid's drawing of the sun. Curious seals bobbing toward me from the Pacific surf, sea lions illustrating the word Basque at Florence, Oregon, with whales off Yakina Head. Even the slow-going freighters that crawl the horizon are parcel in part, are connected to the Kon-Tiki and the Macaw tribal whalers and every human outward sea-going endeavor. Go. Go find out. Rattlesnakes? First was in the Klickitat Canyon in south central Washington, a timber rattler curled up against the trunk of a big blue sagebrush just off the side of the trail. That first clacking, clattering sound, the first dry, hollow shatter of it got into my body, and I was reduced to the truth. You can die here. I'm undergoing gamma knife radiation treatment and then immunotherapy. The gamma thing is not a blade, but a highly focused radiation tool, sits in a room by itself and weighs 64 tons, and shoots gamma rays from 200 different points to focus a superfine beam on a tumor to shrink it. These tumors are in my brain, and there was a total of 7 of them, mostly small, except for one larger mass. This is the most advanced therapy of its kind, and it has a low rate of side effects. The doctors are confident of good results. So far, everything looks good in that department. Immunotherapy consists of a regimen of 2 different drugs administered 3 weeks apart. The idea is to boost the immune system enough to fight the cancer. The infusion is a 3-hour process where I bring a book along with me and they have me sit in a recliner. Sometimes it's the best part of my week. Almost. The resulting side effects are much reduced from those experienced during chemo or general radiation. I'm receiving 2 new drugs, one just released by the FDA, specifically meant to treat melanoma. But you know what? There's no cure for stage 4 cancer. It will kill me. None of my doctors has been able to offer me an end date, even though I sometimes ask, can you give me a ballpark figure here? Weeks, months, a year? It all depends on a matrix that has too many variables. I'm in good health otherwise. I'm relatively young. I have no other heart or lung condition to complicate matters. The PET scan showed that I don't have cancer in my bones, where melanoma often runs to. That's a particularly good bit of news. But just 6 months ago, back in May, I had no idea there was anything wrong. I was playing basketball once a week with some of the other old guys, getting up a tricky shot every once in a while with my left hand. But in June, while I was driving my car, I had a sudden feeling of pressure inside my chest on the right side. Not a heart thing, something I'd never felt before. I drove to the ER, where they diagnosed a blocked bile duct that goes from the liver to the small intestine, and they put a stent in the duct and removed some suspicious material. Thus began the first mystery. What was the sludge, that's their term, they found in the blocked duct? A biopsy took 10 days to come back with a definite conclusion. The gallbladder material tested negative for most cancer, including gallbladder cancer. It was positive for melanoma. Couldn't be. They had to rerun the test twice. Turns out that's exactly what it is. So, the oncologist hands me the keys to the hearse and says, "Drive slow." I'll miss the loopy, heady feeling I get when I smoke pot. I like the fine disordering of the senses, the associative surprises that can arise when I'm high. I don't take those edibles. They just put me to sleep, and I don't vape that 90% concentrated stuff too high by half. Every once in a while, just put a little puff in a pipe. I have for 40 years. My weird case got kicked upstairs from Dr. Puri to Dr. Mejia, who explained that my gallbladder, which was left in after the first surgery, would now have to come out. Also, there was a chance he'd have to resect or remove a piece of my liver where it was in contact with the gallbladder. That surgery in mid-July revealed that the cancer had been spread through the lymph nodes that were near my gallbladder to all the other parts of my body. Dr. Mejia removed the gallbladder and the lymph nodes and recessed the liver, which tested negative for cancer. Once again, it took a long time, 10 days, for the report to come in, confirming the initial diagnosis, melanoma. At the bank, there's an overeager teller, says Ben, with a $7 haircut, a tip-hustling voice, and a steel-trapped mind who always asks, "So, Dennis, what you got going on tonight? You going out?" He nods at my empty ring finger. So tonight, I decide to say, in the flat voice of the serial killer, "No, Ben, tonight I'm going to sit in my basement in a cocoon of self-loathing and despair and shake my fist at the sky while burning with contempt for humanity." He blinks twice and says only, "Okay, here's your cash." Late night walks, end of August, the air buoyant, uplifting, the cool, starting to slide in under the day's heat, and conversation, as much as anything, simple conversation, back and forth, a laugh now and again at an unexpected turn of phrase. Easy repartee, wit. I'll miss junk shops, secondhand stores, thrift stores, especially the thrifty grandmother store in Colfax. Estate sales, farm auctions, all of it, every last chip, glass, and plate of it. When I was 12 years old, I went to a yard sale across the street and bought 6 pink Depression-era wine glasses for $2. I still have 5 of them. Just because I'm dying doesn't mean I have to quit shopping. I keep found notes. Kept them for 40 years. "Yvonne, call your mother before your visit to the psychic." Ragtag snips of sentences. Inmate mail. More than 200 letters. And I have a wooden box full of found pennies. The ones that are worse for the wear are the best. The run over, the beat up and bent. The further away from money they come, the closer back to copper they go, the better. Out on the Palouse Prairie in harvest time, grain trucks are lined up like circus elephants in a cut-over wheat field. Each truck's tail is grabbed by the trailer behind it. Colleen comes to get me from the waiting room wearing blue scrubs. She's handsy. She pats my arm, my back, my knee once I'm seated on the exam table. She's very interested in what I do for a living, how everything's been going since I got the diagnosis. Do I have friends to help me through? It turns out she's warm and genuine and takes more than a passing interest in me as a person and a patient, and she's not afraid to tear up. She introduces me to Jill, who will walk with me all the way through the procedure and will, it turns out, be there for me when I begin to cry unexpectedly. Jill is a rock-solid nurse with 33 years on the job, 16 years doing this particular work, but she still lets her eyes fill up and has to take a tissue of her own after she hands me one. Like Colleen, she has somehow found a way to stay compassionate, to keep her heart open to the truth of her patients' lives, short though they may be, and still offer all the strength, all the support she can muster. It's a rare combination. It's so much easier to guard the heart. Kicking a pine cone down a trail and having it roll a long way. I miss that. Should I store my summer shorts over the winter even? Is Christmas likely? How about rubber bands? Should I keep saving them? I really miss dumb jokes, bad puns. Why can't you run in a campground? Because you ran past tents. I have 25 friends who are letters, but I don't know why. My mom had a bunch of these set pieces she could trot out. The drunker I sit here, the longer I get. I've only had tea martinis. I still love gags, especially sight gags, the Buster Keaton flying pratfall. And what about Mad Magazine, rest in peace? Any kind of laughter. Carson and Keaton, Chaplin, Robert Benchley, Red Skelton, Gilbert and Sullivan, Danny Kaye for sure, definitely Danny Kaye. If you watch him dance with Liza Minnelli on his 1960s TV show on YouTube, smashing. The Smothers Brothers in their red sweaters. George Carlin was a saint. The Fireside Theater, geniuses. In the neurosurgeon's office, the first thing I notice is the dog bed. Then Fiona the dog trots in and plops down. Meanwhile, the neurosurgeon is pointing to the view from the top of my brain down, working his way through the layers and cross-sections and describing the 7 tumors. He shows me a small cloudy area where some blood is spread into the brain. The doctor's affect is decidedly, intentionally flat. It's not that I want a flamboyant neurosurgeon or something, but I'm just open for a little human reaction. The dog stirs, sighs. My neurosurgeon has a loose shock of white hair and a dandy flowing mustache. A bit like Mark Twain, I trust him immediately. He thinks we'll have to do 3 treatments just to be sure. Good idea, I say. Very, very good idea. 3 treatments. 2 weeks apart, he says. Whatever it takes. The dog snuggles into its bed. The doc has me sign a consent form. He looks at my handwriting, and finally he laughs. You have a worse signature than I do. Some of the better wackadoodle books, like Poor Richard's Almanac, The Diary of Samuel Pepys, Boswell's Life of Samuel Johnson, Lin Yutang with Love and Irony and the Analects of Confucius, Lafcadio Hearn all the way. E.E. Cummings near the top of the list for sass and for sincere mocking the worst of capitalism. Whitman because the original American. Gary Snyder, Marilyn Robinson, Wendell Berry, Kurt Vonnegut, and Saul Bellow, all the fiction, especially the essays, It all adds up, from the dim past to the uncertain future. I guess I can have unlimited bratwurst, no more cholesterol checks. Apple streusel goes on that list of what I'll miss. It's all about how you crumble the butter into the brown sugar and flour mixture. 1 pound of butter, 2 cups of flour, 1 cup brown sugar. Now that's good fat. My friend Sean calls it crack cake. It goes well with the weed or anything else. This from Job, chapter 7, verses 7 to 10. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. The eye that now sees me will see me no longer. You'll look for me, but I will be no more. As a cloud vanishes and is gone, so one who goes down to the grave does not return. He will never come to his house again. His place will know him no more. So now it's just slow and steady, and we all try to get through this together with some grace and decorum. One other thing I know. Wait, what was that thing? I'll keep you posted.
Dennis recorded that over a half a year ago. In the meantime, among other things, he's published a new book of his poems called Not Me Exactly, which is just out and in bookstores. As a matter of fact, in July, we will hear another week of poems on the Poetry Moment brought to us by Dennis Held.